Hello, and welcome to 15 Minute History. Every time you ask me a what-if question, I want to throw my right shoe at you. John Streeter to Joe Parker, during Season 4 of 15 Minute History.
One of the most common questions I get asked in my classroom is, what if such and such event had happened differently? Counterfactual history is an interesting way to examine the past because it challenges scholars to look beyond the events and dig into the motivations of the men and women who left their mark on our world. There is some debate among historians as to the usefulness and legitimacy of counterfactual history, and it is important for those of us who are speculating about paths not taken that we avoid excessive guesswork or wild flights of fantasy. There are some intriguing and even very entertaining examples of bad counterfactual history. One of my personal favorites is the 1992 novel Guns of the South by Harry Turtledove, which explores what might have happened if time travelers had supplied Robert E. Lee's army with automatic rifles during the American Civil War. This is not counterfactual history, but science fiction. However, there are numerous works by trained historians that look at plausible differences between what did and what could have happened in the past. Among the best, in my opinion, is a collection of essays edited by Robert Cowley and published in three volumes known simply as What If. Released between 1999 and 2003, the What If series includes contributions from some of the leading academic and popular historians of the day, including John Keegan, Alistair Horn, David McCullough, Victor Davis Hanson, Andrew Roberts, James McPherson, and many others. These scholarly and literary giants lend their credibility to counterfactual history and give insightful looks at the past and how different our world might be had events taken a different course. In this series of bonus episodes on 15 Minute History, Joe and I will be sharing some of our favorite what-if scenarios from this series with you. Building on the theme of Season 4, Learning from History, we hope to provide some lessons on how individuals shape the destinies of large groups and entire nations. Then, in our discussions, you get to listen to me shift uncomfortably in my chair as Joe asks me his favorite question and I resist the urge to throw footwear at him.
The bad dreams that plagued Napoleon were the fantasies of endless military conquests. Like most conquerors before and after him, he never knew when or how to stop. Alistair Horn, Ruler of the World.
Alistair Horn is a name familiar to audiences of this podcast and the author of Seven Ages of Paris. He also wrote several books on Napoleon Bonaparte and other works on French history. In Volume 1 of the What If series, Horn's essay, Ruler of the World, explores several key moments in the great emperor's military career and speculates on their outcome had history taken a different turn. The most interesting came in 1807 during Napoleon's negotiations with Tsar Alexander I of Russia at the Treaty of Tilsit, and it involved a slippery diplomat squaring off against a victorious warlord. The raft floated in the midst of the River Niemen. On it were two beautiful pavilions, one for the Emperor of the French, and the other for the Tsar and Autocrat of all the Russias. In the French tent, Napoleon Bonaparte argued with his foreign minister, Charles-Maurice de Talleyrand, over how harsh the peace terms with the defeated Russians should be. Talleyrand, a servant of every revolutionary government since 1789, was a snake in silk stockings, but he knew foreign policy better than anyone else in the Emperor's entourage. He begged his master to treat Russia gently and put an end to 15 years of war. But Napoleon, flush with the victory at Friedland earlier that year, was determined to humiliate Alexander I, and Talleyrand, ever the obedient servant in public, fell silent. The Treaty of Tilsit forced the Russian Empire into France's continental system and forbade commerce with Napoleon's British foes. It also transferred Russian lands to the newly created Grand Duchy of Warsaw, an independent Polish state that most Russians saw as an insult to their nation and a stain on the map of Europe. Alexander soon began plotting revenge on his French rival, and Talleyrand resigned as foreign minister and secretly counseled the Tsar in an effort to frustrate Napoleon's desires for further conquests. He believed, correctly, that the emperor's bloodlust would eventually destroy the empire. 5 years later, enraged at Russia's betrayal of the friendship established on the raft at Tilsit, Napoleon hurled the Grande Armée into Russia and doomed his empire to lay, like so many before and after, on the ash heap of history. What if? What if Napoleon had heeded Talleyrand's advice in 1807 and treated the Russians with more respect? Alistair Horn lays out a scenario that answers this question. With Russia as a genuine partner instead of a coerced ally, France might have moved southwest through the Ottoman Empire toward British India. This probably would have led to disaster given the rough terrain, though it might have resulted in the creation of a Jewish state in the 1810s instead of the 1940s, a real possibility given Napoleon's liberal attitude toward ethnic minorities. Or perhaps he would have gone southeast into the Iberian Peninsula with greater strength at his back than actually happened. With most of the continent subdued or allied to him, Napoleon could have devoted his full military might to pacifying Spain and Portugal, treating the Spanish ulcer before it weakened him fatally. Napoleon certainly had many military options before him, but Horn writes that the most certain and significant change to history would have come in Central Europe. The two dominant states in German Europe, Austria and Prussia, had been devastated by the campaigns of 1805 to 1807. But, with secret Russian help, the two empires gradually rebuilt their strength. Austria revolted against France in 1809, and Prussia after the catastrophe outside Moscow in 1813. With no Russian help and no 1812 campaign, France would have held Germany down for the rest of Napoleon's reign and likely checked its nationalist sentiments for the rest of the century. If a German national state eventually emerged, it would have done so without the militaristic spirit that drove its armies onto the battlefield in 1870, 1914, and 1939. Our world today. What would our world look like today if history had taken a different course? It is impossible to know for certain, and this is merely an attempt to take Horn's narrative forward through the 20th century. The absence of a military-minded Germany on the European stage obviously would have a tremendous impact on future events. No Franco-Prussian War in 1870 meant no desire for revenge against Germany and France in the early decades of the 20th century. No spirit of revanche meant no First World War. No First meant no Second. No Second meant no Cold War. The bloody pages of the last century might have been much cleaner. Great Britain would have been spared invasion thanks to Lord Horatio Nelson's victory at Trafalgar 2 years before our divergent at Tilsit in 1807. Its war against Napoleon would have continued, but without a base in Spain and Portugal, the government in London would have eventually acceded to French dominion of continental Europe. If the War of 1812 had broken out in North America, Britain might have devoted its full might against the United States, which certainly would have changed American history. A Cold War of sorts might have resulted for decades between the British and French empires, but as both sides reaped the benefits of industrialization and foreign trade, the old rivalry might have faded, though competition for Third World colonies may have kept it going. European society today would be dramatically different. The downfall of Napoleon and the cultural movements it unleashed, nationalism, romanticism, and industrialization, would have been moderated by the enlightened governing policies of a Bonapartist dynasty ruling from Paris. Perhaps Napoleon and his heirs would have created a Europe of the nationalities, like the one dreamt of by his nephew, Napoleon III, who, as the son of a lesser Bonaparte, likely would have never sat on the imperial throne. But nationalist rivalries, Poles against Germans, Austrians against Hungarians, etc., would have been kept in check by French military power. The Romantic movement would have continued, as it predated Napoleon's rise, but the Bonapartist police state would have certainly suppressed these artists' more revolutionary political works. And as for industrialization, this too would have grown under Napoleon's rule, but given the emperor's protectionist trade policies and desire, at least at times, to provide a level of general welfare for his people, the inequities and abuses that led to the rise of socialism and communism might have been forestalled. Had Karl Marx and other collectivists not had the means to exploit workers' mistreatment by industrialists, thanks to a more populist economic worldview across Bonapartist Europe, millions might have been spared the suffering and death caused by communist regimes across the world. Of course, none of this happened. As Alistair Horn put it, quote, "A conqueror was like a cannonball," the Duke of Wellington once observed. "It must go on." Tilsit was the last best hope Napoleon had of attaching his name to an enduring peace, but it was his character that prevented him from reaching up and grabbing the opportunity. And even so, how long would the defeated and humiliated nations of Eastern Europe, Prussia, Austria, and Russia, have allowed him to enjoy it unchallenged? It is a question that cannot be answered, unquote.